Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Meditate part of our online service. It's always great to have you here. But before we do that, let me also have this opportunity to greet Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, especially to my mother-in-law, Joey's mom, Tina. Thank you for being my mother-in-law. And to all the women out there who may not be your birth mothers, but they've been your mentors, your spiritual moms, your teachers. Thank you for all the years and all the love you poured into making people a better version of themselves. Talking about Mother's Day, I wanted to share this picture with you. And these are my three daughters-in-law. And, you know, talking about people who inspire me, these women inspire me to be a better version of myself. You know, I'm really blessed and thankful to have them in my life. They're called daughters-in-law, but truly, the more I get to know them, the DIL has begun to be daughters in love. You will fall in love with these daughters. I don't have any daughters of my own. I have sons. So I'm really grateful that God gave me these gifts from God. They have actually made my sons better men. So thank you, Carla. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Yasmin. Now, I wanted to start this series off with a story about NAFA. Now, NAFA is a school that I enrolled myself in here in Singapore. It stands for the Nanyang Academy of Fine Arts. And I went to take courses in abstract art. So one assignment that our professor said was bring a photo to class, bring a picture of one person to class. Well, being the overachiever that I wanted to be, I said, I'm not going to bring one picture of one person. I'm going to bring four of us. So I brought this picture that you see there. So he said, bring a picture of a face. I brought four faces. I thought, you know, if I'm going to paint something beautiful or exert effort, what's more beautiful than having my three daughters-in-law with me? But little did I know what the homework or what the assignment was going to be. When I brought this beautiful photo to class, only to find out the professor said, I want you to crumple that photo. So this beautiful photo turned out like this. So you know what was the hardest part about this assignment for me was honestly crumpling that photo. Because these are, you know, how do you crumple a photo of people that you love? But then I had to do it for the class. So I crumpled the photo and the instructions were paint what you see. You see, I forgot that, of course, the class I enrolled in was an abstract art class, right? And abstract will give you an altered view of reality. So in the end, this is what turned out. If you see it, this is the end result. You know, this is so far from the first picture because it altered the reality. It showed a distorted view of the thing I saw. So if a person were only to see this piece that I painted, they will never know who the real people were behind it. You're examining it and you're thinking, what is that? Is that an arm? Is that like a bed sheet? You really can't figure what this is. So when you compare both photos, you'll see the one that I made is so totally different from the real people that are there. In the abstract altered view, nobody sees the kindness, the compassion in Yasmin. Nobody sees the entrepreneurial spirit in Christy, her business acumen. Nobody sees the courageous faith and convictions of my daughter, Carla, because they don't see the real person. They only see this version that I made. And it really, really caused me to think that if I took a picture or if you took a picture of God, what would you see? Do I see a real version like the one here, the real people, or do I see an altered version? In fact, if there's a title to this message, is if you took God's picture, what would you see? So it's always good to go back to the source. So let's go to this verse. It's in Matthew 11, 28. This is the New Living Translation. It says here, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. It's interesting that the verse here, you know, the emphasis on Jesus says, come to me, okay? If you want to picture God, if you're going to take a picture of God, you can picture God saying, come, hang out, chill with me. Maybe, you know, go to Toast Box, get your Kaya Toast, relax with God, right? What does that show you about God? That God is a person that's available, right? He says, come to me. Why? I want to listen. I'm available to you. That's what that means. Sometimes it's hard for us to go to God, even if he's available, because we have this picture in our head. Maybe this is a picture of how you see God. He's like this commanding general, right? You have to do this. You have to do that. No freedom. You know, I want to tell you a story. The first time that Joey and I were ever invited to a pastor's house. Okay, so we were young. I think we were in our 20s at that time. And then Pastor Steve Merle invited us for dinner in their house. I think Joey looked like that kid. You know, he was dressed really, you know, he was in a formal shirt. And I was dressed. I looked like a nun. I had long sleeves, long skirt, because I was afraid, what would this pastor say to me? And sometimes that's the view we have of God. Or maybe going to God for us is like going to the principal's office. How many of you have ever been called to the principal's office? Me. So, you know, that at that time, you know, your skirt had to be a certain length. And then the teacher would take a ruler and measure from your knee to your edge of your skirt. If it went too past, you go to the principal's office. That was my time. So sometimes going to God, we feel is like we're going to go to somebody who's going to expose all our mistakes. And maybe he's going to fail. He's going to kick us out. And so we dread coming to God because we dread coming to the principal's office. But here Jesus is clarifying our view of who God is. He says, first, he says, come to me. He says, who? Does he want the perfect ones? No, he says, those who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Does that qualify you and me? I think so, especially at this time with the pandemic. We all are weary and carry heavy burdens. So here we can see that the reason why God tells us to come is because he wants to give us rest. God says, come. Come because you're tired. Come when you're sad. Maybe you're angry. Come when you're lonely. In fact, just come for any reason. So God says, come to me. He's available. It's open to all people with burdens. And, you know, even the kids know that we have burdens. In fact, in this video that I'm going to share, this is an 8-year-old trying to copy what her mom is facing while working from home and multitasking.
Okay, hello! Hi, Jennifer. So, I'm good. Quiet, don't get close. Yeah, sorry about that. So tonight is gonna be fun. Yeah. Guys, I'm in the Zoom call. Please leave. Do not come in.
I like that. I like the snapping of the arms. I thought she lived in my house. How did she know there was a snapping of the arms? So that video resonates with all of us, right? Maybe you're like this guy trying to make a living while working from home, while all around you is family noise and chaos all around. That's a burden. Maybe you're tired because you're concerned for the welfare and health of the senior citizens in your family. And even juggling, you know, you have the senior ones and then you have the younger ones as well. Or maybe you're a super tired frontliner. You're a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, somebody in the service industry, and you're just plain tired. You know what God says? He says, come. I'm available. You're a person with a burden. Come. And you know, the interesting thing is God says everyone is invited. All are invited. Jesus said, come to me, all of you are weary. I will give you rest. It's interesting that this is the first picture of God that Jesus wants us to see. It's more like a welcome mat with an open door. It's an invitation. It's not a rejection. So just come. The second part of that phrase is, Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. So Jesus says, come to me. The next thing he says is, learn from me. Why? Because you know why? God is capable. God is actually smarter than we think. It reminds me of when the kids were small. I mean, okay, these are my three sons, Joseph with the glasses, that's David the behind us, and Joshua, who's the one beside me. And you think, oh, wow, they're so angelic beings. We're all dressed in white. It looks like we're floating in the clouds. I don't know what the photographer wanted to do, but it looked like, wow, we were such a holy family. But in reality, this is how it really looks. Okay, taking a perfect family picture takes time. It sometimes takes multiple tries. And all of you who have tried it know what I'm talking about. How do you get one to behave? One eyes are closed. How do you open their eyes? You know? So I was saying when I was a young mom was, Jesus, how can you say that you can teach me to be a parent when you didn't even raise any sons? You don't have kids. Remember when I was a parent, this was in the age of the dinosaurs, okay? There was no internet, no Wi-Fi. Many of my friends were still single at that time because we had gotten married when we were in our 20s. So I thought, how am I going to learn how to be a parent except just from what I grew up with, right? Interesting that Jesus reminded me of this photo. And he said, Marie, I raised 12. So we see Jesus in just 3 years of public ministry, hanging out, teaching 12 super assorted men with various temperaments. Some are angry, hothead, some are fearful, some are doubtful. So he knew how to raise men. Now, I have an interesting story that helped me when I was a young mom, and I want to share it with you because I believe it's going to help you, whether you're in business or a student. And it's about this guy named George Washington Carver. Now, this dude, okay, George Washington Carver was an African-American who was born as a slave in the South. So he lived under extreme conditions. There was extreme poverty because he was a slave. There was extreme prejudice. And he was deprived of a lot of freedom and education. Prejudice, financial difficulty, lack of education. It kind of sounds like a COVID, like our time now, right? A lot of challenges. But you know what? The interesting thing is what this guy did under extreme poverty. This is what he said. All my life, I have risen regularly at 4 a.m. to go into the woods and talk with God. Then he goes on to say, that's where he reveals his secrets to me, where when everybody else is asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan. It's interesting that you have this uneducated slave who was deprived of education. You know, he had to do several times before he was finally accepted into a school. But you see this guy learning from God. I don't expect you to wake up at 4 a.m. unless you really want to do that. I can't wake up at 4 because I sleep at 12. But it's interesting that when you learn from God, God will reveal secrets to you. Now, George Washington Carver became a scientist. And that's because he was interested in farming and agriculture. Remember, he was a slave, so he worked in the cotton farms. And as he worked in the cotton farms, and then as he became a teacher, he realized that the problem was when you raise a lot of cotton every year, the soil gets depleted of its nourishment. So then he told the farmers at that time, who were mostly white land owners, remember he was an African American, he said, why don't you plant peanuts? You rotate your plants instead of cotton all the time, do cotton, then peanuts, cotton, then peanuts. So they said, great idea, because peanuts make the soil nourished. But then a problem arose because they realized nobody wants peanuts. There's no market in peanuts. If you sell peanuts, you get peanuts for money. You don't get any profit from selling peanuts. So they came back to George Washington Carver and said, you have a problem. You began this. You have to solve this. You know what he did? He went back to God. And this is what he did. He said he went to God and God told him this. He told me, this is God. Separate the peanut into water, fats, oils, gums, resins, sugars, starches, and amino acids. Then recombine these under my three laws of compatibility, temperature, and pressure. Can you imagine? Does God speak to you that way? I mean, God doesn't speak to me this way. But it's interesting because God will speak to you in the interest that you have. He respects your interests and your talent, and He will guide you in those in that direction. And this is what the Lord said, then you will know why I made the peanut. So God gave him specific instructions for his field of work. Wouldn't it be interesting if we did this? What if I challenged you and I challenged myself? If we just went to God, Lord, I want to learn from you. If you could give George Washington Carver all these ingredients and all the systems to do it, can you help me learn from home? I want to go to university, Lord. Maybe you're a student. Lord, I can learn from you. Maybe you're a businessman. I need a new job, Lord. Who knows? If God can make something out of a peanut, you know, what can He do with you and me? And the result? George Washington Carver was able to make 300 inventions from one peanut. This is what he says, and it's his advice that resonates in my heart and carried me through all my parenting years. The Lord always provides me with life-changing ideas. Not that I'm special. The Lord provides everyone with life-changing ideas. These ideas are quite literally a treasure from the Almighty. It is up to each of us, however, to choose and dig for the treasure. It's so amazing. I tell you, I love this story of George Washington Carver. It's been my inspiration as I raise my kids. Okay. So next, so why do we come to God? How can we learn from God? Because God is capable. And the next is, He is omnipotent and omniscient. These are just two fancy words to say that He's all powerful and He knows everything. And based on the story of George Washington Carver, that's very obvious. This Psalm 139 is also another favorite. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Imagine, who knows that? Only God knows all these things, right? You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. I mean, even Joey doesn't know everything I do. He doesn't know everything I think, but it's comforting to know. You have a God who does. And he continues, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. You know what? When you come to God and learn from him, he comes with his hand of blessing upon your head. So it continues, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. I know in this time of pandemic, we have really seen a lot of our loved ones pass away. It's interesting to know whether we live or whether we die. God is there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. So what's a picture we have of God? Somebody who wants us to come to him. Somebody who wants us to learn from him because he's all powerful. But you know what? He's also gentle and humble. He's not a know-it-all who's going to make you feel embarrassed with your questions. In fact, he's just like this photo of somebody trying to learn how to bike, and he's there guiding you along the way. Now, this is my true confession. I do not know how to bike. I can Segway, I parasail, I can ice skate. I have never learned how to bike. Okay, I am already in my 60 plus year, so yeah. So now I have a trike, and in this trike, I realized I can do it, but it has no brake. It has a brake, but it has no gears. If I go up the hill, oh, watch out. The one behind me is going to be in danger. But here's the verse. If we go back to the verse, are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Have you ever pictured God as an oasis? I mean, that's an unusual description, right? Let's see. How many pictures do we have of God? There's come to me, there's learn from me, and you know what? God says, rest in me. What's an oasis? An oasis is a fertile spot in a desert where water is found. So can you imagine, let's say you're just inundated with problems, as much as all this sand that this person in the photo sees. There doesn't seem an end to your challenges, to your difficulties. There doesn't seem an end to this pandemic. And then an oasis comes. This is how an oasis in the desert looks like. God is saying, when we come to Him and learn from Him and rest in Him, it's as if you went to a pool of water in the middle of your challenge. That's the oasis. So God is compassionate. He sees you. He knows how difficult it is to teach online, like this mom using Lego and Tupperware to teach her class. He knows how frustrating it is for teenagers to miss their friends and to be limited by everything that's going on. In fact, you know what? I have invented this award. I'm going to give this distinction to people of great skill. So I want you to read along with me and see if you match this criteria. Okay, what's this distinction? This distinction is given to persons of great skill. They possess the ability to handle months of varied Zoom meetings without going Zoomware, to discuss Zoom things, able to Zoomerize everything without somehow turning into Zoombies. Okay, so how many of you have been experts in Zoom? Congratulations. I now decree you summa cum laude. And because it's Mother's Day, maybe we can say Zoom mom cum laude. Corny, right? Yeah, this is what Joey has to live with. Okay, well, back to the main point. God says, rest in me because I'm compassionate. And He says, you know, I'm going to be your everlasting Father. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget nor ignore me. He will never slumber nor sleep. You know, how many parents can identify with this? You have a parent here who will never slumber nor sleep. He's the guardian God for His people, Israel. I love this photo. That's me. I'm not the parent carrying. I'm the child. And this is true for all of us. You're never too old to be like that child on the shoulders of God. I want you to imagine yourself on the shoulders of that, of your big God, and He's your keeper. He will never forget nor ignore you. He will never slumber or sleep. So, you know, my parents passed away when I was in my 30s. So when I was raising my kids and when I was going through my 30s, my dad, I was only 32 when my dad passed away, and my mom passed away several years after that. So I was still in my 30s then. And there was a parent hunger in me. I think those of you who have lost a loved one, especially in this pandemic, there would be times I'd go out and it's like I'm looking. If I see a shape, like the back view that looked like my dad, or a figure of a woman that looked like my mom, something in me would, I would go to the front to see if it was them. Even if I knew in my head, you know, my dad is in heaven. He's not here. And there was a longing in me that I wish I had a parent to guide me through life. So God, as my eternal Father, is true for me and true for you. So that is one thing you remember. Rest in God. He's your everlasting Father. He'll give you supernatural help. Remember, Pastor Mark, Pastor Joey gave you all these preachings about the Holy Spirit, right? He'll give you rest for your souls. God's yoke is easy to bear. The burden He gives you is light. That's the reason why God wants us to come with Him. But if there's any advice that I would like to live with my children, is that I hope they learn to come to God. I hope and pray they learn from God, and I hope they rest in God. This is a quote by Billy Graham, and he said this: the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, although that's great, right? But rather a legacy of character and faith. So as we go on to the proclaim part of our series, we'll take your bread and your cup, and let's pray this. I'm going to take my communion elements now, and I just want to pray an extemporaneous prayer and say, you know what, God? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you for your reminder, Lord, that you are an available God. Lord, I can come as I am, anytime, anywhere, even when I feel lousy, even if I blew it. Thank you that you're a welcoming God. Lord, I also thank you that you're a capable God. You're smarter than me. Lord, this challenge we're facing, you have the answer to it. Lord, who knows? Maybe you're waiting for one child of yours to sit by your feet so you can give them the solution to this pandemic. Who knows, Lord? Thank you, God, that you're a capable God. And lastly, Lord, thank you, God, that you're a compassionate God, that you're here always to forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, that when you died on that cross and saved us from our sins, that was your ultimate expression of compassion. You understand us so well. So, Father, thank you for all this. We receive it. Help us come to you, learn from you, and just rest in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.